Good evening. It's a blessing to be together, and I've already been blessed in the singing and blessed with that devotional this evening. Maybe I'll get these out of my way before I stumble over them and make an unnecessary noise. I have been looking forward to this evening. Like Paul said, it's supposed to be a relaxing time together, and I haven't really been relaxed too well yet, but hopefully after this evening I can do some of that. My topic this evening, the title that was given is Looked Up Steadfastly into Heaven and Saw the Glory of God. And I think we recognize that as Stephen and what he was expressing, but the topic this evening isn't necessarily about Stephen. I'm planning to share kind of a personal journey. I'll introduce myself, first of all, John Byler from Withville, Virginia. My wife, Linda, passed, it's almost 2.5 years. It was in December of 20, and I was just shy a year, I guess, of Tom with his wife. We were married 27 years, and she was 47 when she passed. I think you said 28 and 48, right? So I'm privileged to be here tonight. This is actually my first time here being at the Widow and Widower Seminar. The last 2 years, I would have liked to be here, but because of conflicting schedule, I wasn't able to be here. But I'm blessed this evening to be here, and I'm also, by way of introduction, I'm blessed to have three of my four children here. Lenita, who's 28, I believe, and her husband, Nick Funk, are here tonight. And the bright spot in our home or in our lives, their daughter, 2-year-old, Nevaeh Hope. Nevaeh is spelled Heaven spelled backward, and there's a reason for her that name. And also, Nevaeh was born just several months after Linda passed. And then also my son, Jarek, which is serving here at Penn Valley right now, 22-year-old. It's a blessing to be here and have him come see him at the same time. Also, Jadrian, who is 18, he's not here this evening, wasn't able to make it. Then our youngest, Kai Ann, who is 13, almost 14. And I'm also blessed to have other family support here this evening. Linda's parents, Ben and Leah Yoder, are here this evening. And also Linda's sister, Martha, and her husband, Matt, who live here right here in McVeightown. And it's a blessing to have them here. Also, my brother Dave and his wife Rose. And it's just a wonderful blessing to have that support here this evening. Also, a special brother-in-law, Titus Miller, who is also the chairman of the board here at Penn Valley. His wife Frida was my sister, just older than me, and Linda passed in December, and just after Linda passed, Frida was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And she passed around six months after that. So it felt like it was sorrow upon sorrow. But God has still been good, and as I'm here to share this evening, like I said, it's a privilege to be here, and I know we're here together not necessarily because of a path that we would have chosen, but it was a path that God has chosen for us. But there's something about being together with others that have been through a similar experience that is heartwarming, and I've already felt that here this evening. But for me to be here for the first time at a Widow and Widower seminar and to share the first evening is a bit of a stretch, I'll admit that. And also to share a little of my personal, our personal journey has been an emotional stretch to prepare for. But like the title that was given this evening for concerning Stephen in the Bible, being able to gaze into heaven and see the glory of God, I'm here to share the story of what my wife was able to tell us before she passed. And so I'm not really speaking about Stephen, but I'm here to share some of the things that she expressed to us as a family before she passed. Now, like Stephen, she was able to see some of the glory beyond. And I trust this evening it can be something that can be of encouragement to everyone here. But now, very unlike Stephen, who was surrounded by people that hated him and were wanting to get rid of him, Linda was surrounded by us as a family that loved her and would have wanted her to stay with us. But both had the privilege of expressing what they were seeing. And I feel a little like it's a little unfair this evening for me to be able to share with you. I'm sure you all have a story that's worth listening to, and it feels a little unfair to me to have this privilege to share. But I believe this evening that even if your spouse was not able to verbalize to you what she's seeing, if your spouse was ready to meet God, I think I have full confidence that they would have loved to share with you what they were experiencing and what they were seeing. And I don't know why God grants this to some and not to others, but it's not that I feel like it's because we're any better or that we are more special in the eyes of God or that our home was perfect and that God granted that to us. And I don't feel that way at all. I know God cares about us and he cares about our journeys, but I feel very much in common. And we had a very normal marriage and things to work through. So it's not like I feel like we're, like I'm any better or that our family is any more special in that sense than any one of you here tonight. I'd like to just, I'll give a brief rundown of the health journey that we were on in 2020, and share a little bit more on an experience that my daughter Lenita had before Linda passed, and then I'd like to share with you the things that Linda actually expressed and kind of close with a song that I'd heard. But my wife, Linda, she had discovered a breast lump in February of 2020, which was about 8 months before she passed, around 8 months before, was it 10, maybe 10 months before. And we decided to doctor with an integrative healthcare doctor in Tennessee that we had, some of our church people had gone to and had good results, and it seemed like it wasn't much question to Linda which direction she wanted to take with going for that. And there with we had gone there toward the end of February and did a thermography, and it did show major inflammation in her breast area. But it didn't show cancer like the doctor said it would show, a certain color if it would be cancerous. And still, because of the inflammation, the doctor put her on a cellular detox compound and a very strict diet to hopefully take care of that. And she did lose some weight through that, but still seemed to feel good. We did a follow-up thermography in July, which showed a decrease of the inflammation and still didn't show signs of cancer, even though the lump had grown, but we just concluded that it was probably a non-cancerous muscle mass and continued with the compound to try and decrease that. But by August, Linda she lost around 30 to 40 pounds, She got serious back pain, and we thought it was just skeletal issues, so we went to the chiropractor regularly. But in September, we did a live blood screen at the doctor, and again, the blood cells, the doctor said if it would be cancerous, would be a certain color, and it didn't. They looked like healthy blood cells. It was a live blood screen, and they were healthy looking. But she kept dealing with back issues, and then it started sometimes being in the stomach. And by October, we knew we needed more help. And so we called a local medical nurse, which down there in Virginia right now, we have that blessing, I guess, of having a local nurses that actually come out to your home. And they're medical nurses, but they can't come out and treat and diagnose in the home. And so we had a nurse that came out, and it was over the time she was having stomach problems. And so she diagnosed her with IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and prescribed pain medications for that and calming medication to help that. But because of her severe backache, we ended up in the ER and toward the end of October. And again, they just kind of focused on her back and said she has diagnosed her with musculoskeletal inflammation and prescribed more pain meds. But in our November 18th appointment with our doctor in Tennessee, she was so alarmed with how weak in her condition was that she said, we need to go for more help. And it was like, I can't really help you with this more. She didn't know for sure what it would be. So we did. We followed through and got hooked up with an oncologist. Actually, she said we need to go for more medical help, so we ended up going back to Withfield to the ER at the hospital, and they did a CT scan and discovered that she had lesions in her lower spine and liver. Said they don't know what the lesions are, but we're supposed they wanted us to get hooked up with an oncologist, and which we did, and of course there was lots of waiting time, and she continued to weaken in her condition. But by the beginning of December, we had gone ahead and did a biopsy just to make sure, and the biopsy confirmed that it was cancer. And so until we had our appointments with medical doctors and everything, it was the beginning of December that we actually got the results from the biopsy that showed that it was cancer. But we followed through with chemo treatment. And she had that just a week before she passed and one radiation treatment just a few days. It seemed it really didn't do anything for her at that time anymore. But she passed peacefully on Thursday morning of December the 17th. But that was our journey. And kind of through that time of our journey, our oldest daughter, Lenita, got married in June. And as you probably all know, during that time was COVID. So we had an abbreviated wedding. It was less around 50 people, I think, that we could have for that. But we still treasure the pictures that came from that time. We also knew that we were grandparents before Linda passed in December. But through that journey right before Linda passed, our oldest daughter Lenita had this experience one night where she felt like God was speaking to her. She had gone to bed kind of feeling disturbed, and I share this part because of how it connects with Linda's vision. But she felt kind of disturbed, and I think we were all getting anxious about the journey that we were on and feeling like it, you know, it felt like we were in a losing battle. But she went to bed feeling disturbed. And about the middle of the night, she got awake. And she looked on her phone at a WhatsApp message that one of my sister-in-laws had sent sometime that night or evening. And the WhatsApp message had this motto or picture of a motto on it, which said, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." And she'd send it to the family chat as a way of encouraging us as a family. But on that, there was a voice inside her. It wasn't really an audible voice, but started talking to her. He said that he wants to show his power and what he can do, and that nothing is impossible with him. He told her that no doctor, nurse, or clinic will ever be able to do for your mom what I can do. And he just wants her to be still and let him fight for us. She questioned if it was God speaking to her, but that voice continued and assured her and reminded her of Elijah in the wilderness and how he spoke to him in a still small voice and assured her that that's what he's doing to her right now. He reminded her that he cares for her baby and the family, and that the journey isn't over yet, but he still needs her to be still and let him show what he can do. He reminded her that the devil is going to come with doubts and fears and try and make her believe there's no hope, but he needs her to be strong and fight those lies with the truth that he was just giving her. Again and again, he reminded her, "I need you to be still." Of course, this was an encouragement to us as a family when she related it to Linda and I. And many times following that, whenever we'd go through kind of those low times, didn't know what we should be doing for sure, we'd remind each other that God is fighting for us. It was time of waiting on appointments. It was times of, going through that journey and not knowing. Sometimes we hardly could wait until we could get to the next appointment. And then to top it off, even things like, to be able to get hooked up to chemo, she needed to have a port installed, and in order to put the port in, she'd had to have surgery, and before she could have surgery, she had to have a COVID test, and I had to have that as well. And lo and behold, she tested positive. Don't understand, and it was just a very stretching time. And so the place that we were planning to go for the chemo, I tried a few different places, and no, they would not take her if she's tested positive. But we did a second test that showed negative, and we were able to proceed. But just things like that, that we went through, that we just assured each other, God is fighting for us. And it really felt like, God's going to work a miracle. God's going to bring healing. We really felt that way. It felt like, I think we're gonna come through this. But of course, as time proceeded, it came clear that that was not what God's plan was. God did bring healing, of course, but it wasn't in the way that we wanted. But what I'm about to share here this evening, I think we felt like it was a fulfillment of what God was telling Lenita that night, that he wanted to show his power. And I can say I don't feel like it was anything other than the power of God that she was able to express to us what she's seeing. So I think I'll just share a little bit about that, seeing the glory of God, being able to see into what's on the other side. And I trust this evening I'm not here to bring any glory to ourselves, but to bring glory to God and be of encouragement to you. But Wednesday morning, before she passed on Thursday, she seemed rather restless and uncomfortable, and she was dealing with pain. But as they get into that condition of not having hardly any strength. She hardly could, she couldn't even swallow her pain pills anymore. And it was a time when, you know, we felt kind of helpless. And it also seemed that she was going through some spiritual battle. She kept asking, "Jesus, won't you just come and take me?" And she wondered if he never will. She one time looked at me and asked, "Am I just being too pushy?" And I told her, I don't think so. But through the forenoon, it seemed like she wanted to die and just couldn't. Lenita asked her if she feels like she's not letting go, if she feels like we're not letting her go. And she said, "Well, maybe I didn't release Cayenne," which was our youngest daughter. And so she prayed for her. Cayenne, our youngest, was born with a medical condition, a genetic disorder called CAH. And she can live a very normal life, but she needs constant medication. And so there was doctor appointments. And through her birth, we call her our miracle baby. But that's a story on its own. But Linda had spent many, many hours with Cayenne and taking care of her and taking care of her needs. And it seemed like when she was getting to that point that it was hard for her to release. You know, someone else would need to look out for her. And thankfully, she's at the age where she can take a lot of responsibility for herself now. But it seemed like it was a battle for Linda. And it seemed like, Anita reminded her that she doesn't need to fight, but that God will fight for her. And she agreed that God will fight for me. We started praying and asking the power of the blood upon her. One of the first things that she said that she saw was that I see the devil slinking away and Jesus is chasing him. And how true, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I think it was just, I don't know how she could know all that about what she was seeing. And we as a family sang, "O Come Angel Man," and she actually helped sing the chorus. But all morning and early forenoon that Wednesday, I was desperately trying to get hospice care out. We did not actually have hospice care at that point, and I was desperately trying to get connected, and it was a dreary, cold December day. It was actually snowing some, and I was concerned how it would actually be for hospice to be able to come out. But just as I was kind of finishing up, one of them said, "Hey, you need to come and listen. You need to be here with her." And I was in an adjacent room. And so, yeah, it was a blessing to be there. And we were together. It was me and the children. And it was also Linda's sister, Martha, Matt's wife, was there, and Linda's mom, and one of my nieces. And we were gathered around her chair as she was beginning to tell us this. If you're in disbelief tonight, you can ask the others that are here. But I also have about a 14-minute video that we actually took during that time. And also, Linda's sister Martha had, from memory, written down a lot of what she remembered. But sometimes in relating to the story to others right after it happened, even, you know, we didn't always agree 100%, but we all kind of, you know, we had our gospel truth of our version. Well, you know how it is with the four Gospels. The stories don't always come out quite the same, but they were all the truth. And so I think for a lot of what I have to share here this evening were from that video, so I feel like that for sure was accurate, but then some of the details sometimes is from memory. But one of the first things that she told us she saw after the devil and Jesus chasing was, she said, "I see my two children." And let me explain to you a little bit. We had, between our oldest daughter, Lenita, and Jarek, there's 6 years. And in that time, we struggled with misconception for a time. And we asked for anointing. And then actually were able to achieve a few pregnancies, only to have them miscarry. And that was a difficult time. But the pregnancies were not far along. And it was just something that we had gone through. I remember one of the nurses telling Linda that this is going to go with you for life. And it's like, you know, there's part of you that's going to be missing. And it seemed like it was actually something that was on her mind, because the Monday evening before this Wednesday, she had told us as a family that maybe now I can go and see my children. But now she's telling us that I see them. And it was just something. She said, "I see my children." I asked her, "Are they boys or girls?" And she responded with, "Oh, they're girls." Lenita asked her, "Who do they look like?" And she said, "Oh, my girls." Her sister Martha asked, "Are they still babies or are they walking?" She said, "They're singing and dancing. I see their legs. They have yellowish dresses on." She said, "They're a little younger than Lenita." And then she said, "I mean Cayenne." And she seemed a little confused about that. But she said, "They're playing." And she said, "They would love to play a doll with you." I think she was talking to Cayenne. I asked her if she sees others, like my mom or dad or Uncle Jake. And she said, "I haven't seen many people yet, just my children." That has been such a comfort and encouragement for us. But I'd also like to just share this in the sense of, I don't believe that there's any life lost with God, any conception lost, miscarriage. There's children in heaven. And we didn't know the gender, but we do know now. And that is special to us. But then she kept on with some other things. She specifically seemed to know who's around her, and she said, her sister Martha was there, and she said, "Martha," she said, "the flowers." Linda loved flowers and making bouquets, and our flower gardens at home showed that. She had many different kinds, but roses and dahlias were some of her specialties. Then she said, "I don't know how far this goes, but," she said, "there's water there, boys." She said, "I can see all the way down to the bottom." She didn't say it's clear as crystal, but that's what it says in Revelation, right? She said, "I can see all the way down to the bottom." And then she kept on with saying, "And the gates on both sides." She said, "I can't explain it." She said, "Imagine gold gates." I think she was seeing what it says in Revelation 21, verse 21. "The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gates were of one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." I think she was seeing that. And she went on to say that, "I'm getting tired out. I can't see much here, but I can picture it." And she'd kind of get these far away looks. And I think I missed the earlier part where she said that it just gets brighter. And, you know, I said it was a dreary, dark day outside, but she said it just gets brighter. Then she went on to describe a little bit about the garden. She said, I'm not sure what's all going to be in the garden, but she said, there's a garden. Lenita said, you're going to make beautiful bouquets. Well, Linda replied, if Jesus wants me to. Lenita told her, I'll miss your bouquets here, but you're going to make so much more beautiful ones there. Linda said, I'll play around with it. But then she continued. She continued by saying, Jesus, I see him floating in the sky in white. She said, I see a drop of blood from his side. It's dropping down for me. So precious. And then she said, there's one for all of you. To me, it just confirms the truth, the fact that I believe that there's still a lot of blood at Calvary. And it's been flowing long, but it's still going strong. And there's still plenty of blood. I can't explain, you know, how that all would have been for her to see that. But that's what she told us. Her mom asked her, is Jesus taking your hand? She responded with, well, he's around here. I just feel his presence and his security blanket. Now, the security blanket was another experience that she had several weeks before that one night when she told me the next morning that she got awake and she felt this blanket slowly coming up over her body. And she said it felt so good and comforting. And she referred to it as her security blanket. A little later then, she said, I'm trying to think of Jesus as my security blanket. But I tell you, there's anguish. But Jesus is there. I think she was facing the sting of death. We quoted together to her Psalm 23, which of course included, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We quoted that together to her. And then she continued. She said, I see he's walking with the staff. He's referring to Jesus. He's taking my hand. He's saying, come. Her mom assured her that you may go. She must have been thinking about Lenita and her unborn granddaughter when she said, Jesus would gently lead those that are with young. That was the comfort to Lenita. And she wanted to lift her hands to Jesus. So Lenita and I held up her hands, and she kept saying, Jesus, I can't do this long. It just takes time. Said, it could go all night. Are you willing to go with me? And we assured her that we would stay with her. Lenita assured her that, just think, soon you won't need that wheelchair or your walker, and you won't have any more pain. I told her that she'll be able to skip and run, and she gave me such a beautiful smile. Through the rest of the afternoon, she kept saying, Jesus is still there with his staff in his hand and saying, come. And even when the hospice nurse came that evening, which she did finally come, or that late afternoon she came, she even told her that, I see Jesus. Jesus is still there with his staff in his hand and saying, come. And that's pretty much the extent of what her vision was. I'm sure there was a few details that I didn't include. But this experience, of course, is very dear to our hearts as a family. And I trust this evening that just sharing it to you can be an encouragement to you as well. In one sense, it's almost too sacred to tell, but I feel like it's a privilege. And I trust that ultimately God is glorified. It's not any glory to ourselves. But we feel that it was Him and His power and confirmation to us that she's safely made it home. And I know many of you, and hopefully all of you, have the same assurance that even though we don't all have that same experience, we can have that same assurance of God meeting our needs. And I know God wants us all to draw close to Him. And even through the deep, dark valley of losing our loved one, our companion, I believe the blood of Jesus is still dropping down to cleanse from sin and prepare us for that home where we can be reunited to those who have gone before. Now we think of the title tonight of Seeing the Glory of God. Have you ever wondered why don't we get to see more of that? And maybe some of you have experiences and stories that you could tell of things or people that you have seen. I've had a lot of dreams about Linda since, but I haven't really had a dream of her in glory. But somehow, like Linda and Stephen, it seems like it's restricted sometimes to those who are passing or almost passing, or maybe on their are very sick and God grants a vision. And I think it's something that God allows just enough for us to keep us longing for that. And it's probably for our good if we could see into heaven, if we could see our loved one there, how would it be to continue here in life, here in this earth? But in our humanness, I think that is still a desire and a longing that we have. And I came, listened to a song here some time ago that I'd like to share that song with you, kind of as a tribute to Linda and for all of us, for those who we are longing to see again. It was just a song that expresses the feeling of the heart. But if heaven had a window, heaven knows how I missed you, but I couldn't wish you back. I know you're healed completely, and heaven is where you're at. But if heaven had a window that I could look through, I'd search all through heaven just to get a glimpse of you. I know I'd see you smiling. There'd be a twinkle in your eye, surrounded by the angels where loved ones never die. Oh, if heaven had a window that I could look through, I'd search all through heaven just to get a glimpse of you. Even though my heart is breaking, I know that you are fine. Forever home with Jesus, where there's no such thing as time. And your memories are my window that I can look through. I cherish every moment that I could spend with you. I know someday I'll be with you. What a glorious day that will be. Forever we'll worship our Savior through all eternity. But if heaven had a window that I could look through, I'd search all through heaven just to get a glimpse of you. I know we have to face the reality here tonight. The daily connection is lost from our side, and we'll never get to be with them again in this life. It's like David of old said when his child died, but now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. But it's a promise that we can all claim as long as we're faithful. So in conclusion tonight, I would just like to refer to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses," and I know it comes right after chapter 11, and it gives that whole list of faithful men and women in the Bible. A question for you to ponder, though, for me to ponder, is who is all included in that cloud of witnesses? Could it be that others that are faithful that have passed since are included with that cloud? Could it be, possibly, that you and I's loved ones are included in that cloud of witnesses? And the other question is, what are they witnessing? Are they able to see what's going on? I don't know all those answers. But it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And you know, as widows and widowers here tonight, I know we face besetting sins. Seems with a loved one passing, it's so easy to fall into discouragement or self-pity or wondering why I'm left with all this pain, and sometimes bitterness and anger could develop. But let's lay aside those sins, those besetting sins. And it says to run with patience, which is endurance, but the word patience, to run with patience, did you ever think about how kind of opposite that is? A person that's running is wanting to get there and probably a little impatient, but we're supposed to run with patience and run with endurance. Now, if you're a widow and widower here tonight, I think we all realize what grief can do, and we realize that it can zap of strength, it can zap of energy, and there's not much get-go to run, but it's keep running. Let's keep running. Run with patience. The race that is set before us, the race that we're running might not be an easy one. Grieving is difficult, but God understands if we don't always make the headway, but let's keep running. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, let's stay focused on Jesus and who he is, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that is able to take us to the end, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Back to our title tonight about Stephen. It says that Jesus is sat down. So in Stephen's experience, it says that he sees Jesus standing. In Linda's experience, he wasn't sitting either. Could it be that Jesus stands when every believer comes home? I don't know how much time he would be sitting. Probably not much. But either way, I think Jesus is there to welcome all those who are faithful. He's standing or sitting at the right hand of God. He welcomes all those who are faithful. And may we continue to find comfort for the journey and be faithful till the end.